Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we're taking a look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife on the show. It must be, is it the first? It is the first Wednesday of the month, and that means David Drake and Jamie Nack will be talking with us about what's going on around the state, and of course, we'll be inviting your questions as well. And here we are right in the middle of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And just a reminder, your support is an essential piece of the funding for the shows you enjoy here. Listener support's our largest source of funding, and this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I am pleased to introduce again Sarah Ashworth, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. She joins me. And Sarah, we have an interesting challenge.
We do. We do. Today marks the start. And hello, everyone. And happy early afternoon, I would say. I'm excited. This is a treat to be in here for your show today, Larry, and with your guests. And it's also a treat because we have a 48-hour challenge underway. So we need 500 gifts for an extra $15,000 to come to WPR. That money comes from a group of generous members who want to inspire you to make a gift as well. And as I see an update here, we have had 64 gifts come in. We have 436 to go.
I don't know that we can get we could try to get 436 this hour.
Well, I'm guessing at least 436 people are listening right now
Wildlife
Wednesday.
That's more than that. I love these challenges, and those folks who do contribute to that challenge is their way of supporting and encouraging you to join them for the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, your participation is so important in these drives. It's vital, really. You help us meet this challenge, and you can help us do this before the end of the day tomorrow. It starts with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
This is a high-value program, I would say. The Larry Mueller Show is a high-value program. I know you know that, too. You are listening right now and eager for the program to start. We're eager to hear from you now and hope that you can make a gift. And when you make a gift, it helps keep us independent. We are an independent public service radio station. We would not want it any other way. We are beholden most of all to you, our listeners and our community. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just made an extra donation the other day because I wanted another hat.
Well, you're wearing the hat now. I see you got that hat pretty quickly.
Well, I got a hat that was made as a tester, and it didn't quite work out as well
as it should
have. Oh, it's a second. So they gave me a free one.
It is a great hat.
It is a good hat, and I felt pretty good about it. I enjoyed going down there and talking to the promotions people. Not everybody else can do that, but if you ask somebody why they give, they'll probably say, "Hey, it feels good," just like I felt good about it, and for you, it'll feel good to know you're part of making something special happen.
So you can make your gift now. Maybe it's your first gift of $10 or $20 a month and enjoy that feeling, that excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio station. It starts right now with your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That is correct. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Ashworth. Your support during this fall member drive makes the shows you rely on possible. Your gift could be $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
I love that idea we just heard about, universal access. When you make a gift, you are helping provide this program, all of the programs and service of Wisconsin Public Radio, to all of your neighbors, to your entire community. We can all give at different times, and if this is a time you can give, we're asking you to do so now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you could be one of the 500 people to help secure an additional $15,000 for WPR. We have a group of very generous members have created this challenge to inspire you to contribute. And your gift, any amount, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from, let's see, John in Monomedi, Minnesota. Hey, I'm a Minnesotan. I know that town. They say, I'm giving in appreciation for past shows with Michael Perry on Larry Mueller, and I'm also a big fan of Chapter a Day. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Chapter a Day myself. What about you? Your gift right now is so important. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you very much. And a big thank you very much to our two guests today, our wildlife experts, as we talk the world of wildlife, David Drake and Jamie Nack. David's an Extension Wildlife Specialist and Professor. David, welcome back.
Well, it's always nice to be invited back.
Well, it's good to have you here. And Jamie Nack is an Extension Senior Wildlife Outreach Specialist. By the way, they're both in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. Wanted to mention that. And Jamie, good to see you as well.
It's great to be back, Larry.
So as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in the conversation. Let us know what's going on wildlife-wise in your area. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. You know, every year on the UW-Madison campus on Bascom Hill, there are hundreds and hundreds of pink flamingos. But those are all plastic. And we had some with actual feathers, David.
We had actual flamingos. I mean, stand on one leg, Larry. Yes, unbelievable. It's actually been an incredible birding year for people who really are avid birders. The first report of flamingos in Wisconsin in recorded history ever occurred on September 22nd, so just about 10 days ago, something like that, just a little bit north of Port Washington on Lake Michigan. And there were three adult flamingos and two juveniles together. You could tell the difference because of their plumage color. And the thought is that they were blown off course, blown up here by Hurricane Idalia. And people were tracking these flamingos and presumably the same five up through the states. So they'd been seen in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, things like that. And so and maybe there's multiple flamingos that are coming up. But obviously, flamingos are not native to anything really well north of Florida. So that is a terribly unusual sighting. And as of September 30th, they were seen, I think, in Lake Pentonwell over in Adams County or in that central central part of Wisconsin. So who knows what's going to happen with them. Hopefully, they're going to fly south. I think we talked about the roseate spoonbill, which was another accidental that's, again, from Florida, Texas, you know, kind of Gulf Coast region that was up here earlier this summer. And then in the spring, we had a painted red start, which is from southwestern part of the United States. So that's been terribly unusual.
Cool.
And then on top of that, because of Hurricane Lee, some birds got blown off course and were actually seen in Britain and Ireland. And so for the first time ever, they saw birds like magnolia warblers and blackburnian warblers. And I think they saw Baltimore orioles and things like that. So it's been a very, very unusual birding year. And for people who are avid birders and keep life lists and things like that, you know, they enjoy seeing birds regardless of it being a robin or a belted kingfisher, whatever the case is. But these accidentals or these once-in-a-lifetime birds is what really gets people who are avid birders very, very excited. And people will travel, you know, hundreds if not thousands of miles to see these birds simply to add it to their life list.
I'll bet there were lots of people traveling up the Lake Michigan side there.
And if you are looking for a rare bird, don't look for the bird. Look for the throngs of bird watchers. That's the best way to find the bird.
That's true. That's true. Actually, another way you can kind of see what might be out there is to go to the Wisconsin eBird website.
Yeah, it's
and
a
then,
great place.
Yeah, if you log in, you can look. There's actually a section for rare birds. Yeah. So if you click on that, you can kind of see what are some rarities being reported right now. So limpkin was another species, which is like a marsh-like wading bird. Mm-hmm. Pretty large in size, and they've got a long bill with a twist at the end of it, and they're very good at using that adaptation to pull snails out of their shell. And they were seen in Wisconsin as well.
It is. It's remarkable. It really is. Yep.
One thing you can see in Wisconsin, if you're lucky, is an elk. And Jordan in central Ashland County has a question that relates to elk and the elk herd. So let's go there. Jordan, hi.
Hey, my wife and I are sustaining members. We're about 4.5 miles southwest of Marengo along the Brunswiler River. And we're, I guess, as the crow flies, 25 or so miles from Clam Lake. And I just saw a young bull, half a mile from our 40 acres. And our neighbor's 80 is right on the Brunswiler River. And they counted at least 18 on their 80. The hoof prints are so big. The scat is way different. So there's no doubt. You know what I mean? So I'm sure they're using the Brunswiler River Valley as a wildlife corridor to get up here to chew on our round bales. So thanks a lot. And have a good day.
Thanks a lot for calling us. So that's central Ashland County.
Yes, that'd be the Clam Lake herd. Yeah. Yep.
And he said he was, about 25 miles from Clam Lake as the crow flies. So that was an easy walking distance for an elk.
Yeah. What's that Clam Lake herd? What's the size of that now? Do you know off the top of your head?
I was thinking you were going to ask that or it was going to come up. I want to say between the two herds, between Clam Lake and Jackson County
the central
area,
part of the state,
Falls. I want to say we're around 400 total.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact number, but I know the Clam Lake herd is large enough that they were able to sustain a harvest.
And that needed to get to 200 animals to have a harvest.
Yep, and so the fact that they're able to sustain harvest is a good indication that that's a healthy population, at least in Clam Lake.
So what about coyotes? We had a study out of Chicago that had some new findings related to urban coyotes.
Yeah, our friend and colleague Stan Garrett, Dr. Stan Garrett at The Ohio State University, has got the longest-running urban coyote project in the world. And he started radio-collaring coyotes in the city of Chicago, on the outskirts of Chicago, but within the city limits and the forest preserves in the year 2000. He's still at it. And nowadays, he's actually tracking coyotes that are living their entire life within the inner loop of Chicago. So that is how urban some of these animals are. And he's been doing some just fabulous work on urban coyotes in Chicago. The most recent study they came out with, or one of the most recent studies, is they were looking at stress levels in urban.
Among people or coyotes?
Both probably, but coyotes in particular. And what they were looking at is this particular type of chemical called cortisol. So when we get stressed, our cortisol levels in mammals go up. And so they were pulling hair out of the rumps of animals that they were catching, coyotes they were catching, and look at the cortisol levels. And what they determined is that coyotes that are truly urban have a higher cortisol level than suburban or rural coyotes, so that they are experiencing more stress or exhibiting more stress. Coyotes that were pack leaders were also exhibiting more stress than coyotes that were just part of the pack but not leading the pack. And the thought is because those pack leaders have responsibility for the pack, defining territories, defending territories, things like that. Other coyotes that exhibited high levels of stress were loner coyotes or also transient coyotes. So these are coyotes that are not part of a pack, and they are moving across the landscape on their own, either trying to establish a new pack or trying to find a pack that will accept them. And the thought is because they're on their own that they have to defend themselves. They don't have the defense of the pack, and so they're exhibiting additional stress level. And then the last group of coyotes that they saw higher stress levels in were coyotes that had poor physical conditions. So it might have been malnutritioned or coyotes that had mange, for example.
Yeah.
So they're exhibiting some kind of a stress to their immune system and their health. So it's really, really interesting. What's that?
Mange would do it.
Yeah, Mange would definitely do it for sure. But it's really interesting because one of the things that they're also looking at over a multi-city study is boldness in coyotes. And so they think that animals that are more bold are probably the ones that are exhibiting, moving into the more urban areas because they can handle that stress level even though they're seeing higher stress in those animals.
Well, speaking of bold, I want to be bold and invite Sarah Ashworth back in here with us during our fall member drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting. I thought that was pretty darn interesting, that research, and we're going to go into some more detail on it as the show moves along. But as you listen, I want to thank you for your support. You and other listeners provide the largest source of funding for our shows. When you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and the many other programs possible when you contribute.
And when you contribute right now, your money could help us secure an extra $15,000. That's because we have a challenge underway. We are looking to receive 500 gifts in the next 48 hours. I guess the clock has already started on that. So by the end of the day tomorrow, to secure an extra $15,000. And that money comes from a group of generous members who are hoping to inspire you to make your gift now. And we have an update here from the membership team. I see we have received 66 gifts toward that, and we have 434 to go to help secure that extra $15,000.
So I hope you'll help us out right now. Your participation is actually really vital. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. So do it right now. Give now. And any amount makes a difference, by the way, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You should, you know, give right now. Why give at this moment? Well, you're listening right now. You're enjoying and learning so much through this program today. We're asking you to give now.
And you'll feel good when you do it.
Yes.
Yes, they will. Sarah and I have already given probably more than, well, I probably 100 times at least that I've given. I can't remember. Anyway, you're going to feel good just like I feel good. WPR, it's an important public service, and you'll be making an investment in the quality programs that you hear.
The money that you give, the gift that you make today, it goes right into the programs that you hear every day, like The Larry Mueller Show. You can support Wisconsin Public Radio right now with your gift. The website that you can go to do that, it's just a couple of minutes. You fill out some basic information. It's WPR.org. You can also pick up the phone if you'd like to. You can call 888-202-2552.
And you might want to become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you give an amount, let's say $10 or $15 a month, that will automatically come out of your bank account, or maybe some people use their credit card for this. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
Right. And what a sustaining membership does, too, for us at the station is it means we can depend on you. The way that you depend on us for programs day in and day out, year in and year out, you're still in control of your gift, your membership. You can change your giving at any time, but become a sustainer now. You can set that up at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
This member drive, let WPR help you keep up with the latest fashion trends. Ask for your WPR belt bag when you give $10 a month for the programs you rely on. How would you use your WPR belt bag?
How wouldn't I use it?
I'd keep snacks in my WPR belt bag.
Could be used as a fanny pack.
To hold all the accoutrement of my life.
You could just put it off the side on your hip if you're so inclined. Either hip would work, left or right.
I'd use my WPR belt bag when I travel. All my important stuff right there on my waist, quick and easy to grab.
Keep your essentials close and accessible while proudly displaying your support for WPR with this stylish accessory. Ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Ashcroft. Ashworth. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
And whatever amount you choose, it's your gift that really matters right now because it helps us meet this challenge we have underway through the end of the day tomorrow. We're looking to have another 434 gifts come in because when they do, an extra $15,000 comes to WPR.
So give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And don't forget about that belt bag. That's one thing I haven't gotten yet.
What wouldn't you use a belt bag for, Larry?
I have no idea. No, actually, I have a friend who I wind up watching her dog pretty often.
Dog
so
treats.
I would put dog treats yeah. in the belt bag, and that's rather than the plastic bag that gets crunched up in my pants pocket
that's
all the time.
That's an excellent idea. At $10 a month, you could make that happen for yourself, too, as you're listening now, to make a gift at $10 a month. We heard from Mike in Osceola, who says, the rich variety in programs keeps us in touch with so many of Wisconsin's natural treasures through hosts and guests who always brighten our day. Thank you, John. Or, I'm sorry, Mike. Thank you, Mike. I have two uncles, Mike and John.
Okay. Oh, man. What about you? You don't have to be named Mike or John to get this, help us out here. Whatever your name is, your gift right now, it's powerful. It really does make a difference. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. We're getting a wildlife update today on the show with our two wildlife expert, David Drake and Jamie Knack, of course, from the University of Wisconsin, Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. We're talking about a lot of things. We've talked flamingos and we talked coyotes. And as a matter of fact, you can join in with your own questions or maybe an experience to share at 800-642-1234. Scott in Denmark has something for us. So let's go there. Hi, Scott.
Hi. We've got, there's 30 acres of woods behind the house, and we've had deer there for many, many years that we've been there. And about 2.5 weeks ago, I could hear a coyote yipping in there at night, and I have not seen a deer since then, or on my cameras in the woods, no deer, but I do have pictures of the coyote. Any idea how to get him out of there?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that the presence of the coyote is causing the deer not to be in that area. So I don't know if the caller's still on the line, but what types of trees. But right now there is a very large acorn mast, and those deer may be feeding in different areas and have just moved off, you know, for those reasons. So I don't know that you could, you know, put the two and two together, but those coyotes and those deer are certainly going to spend more, will utilize more land than just the 30 acres that you have. So I would maybe think about things you can do to attract deer. So planting trees and shrubs, and maybe we'll get into that later with native trees and shrubs. And just, you know, providing the cover for the deer. So, and David?
I would just suggest that those coyotes probably have been around even before you started to hear the yipping. So
yeah.
that and even if you get rid of the coyotes, other coyotes are going to move in. So I think that I wouldn't put your efforts into trying to get rid of coyotes.
And, of course, the deer, this time of year in particular, they're kind of on the move.
They are
on the move, and especially I think as we get to this weekend with the cooler weather, I think we'll see more movement. We've been kind of checking cameras. It's the youth deer hunt is coming up this Saturday and Sunday, and there are still lots of bachelor groups of bucks on cameras and then does and fawns, so they can't, you know, haven't really dispersed quite yet, but that's all going to change here in a couple of weeks, so...
Thanks very much for calling. Let's take a call from Sue in Menominee, Michigan. Hi, Sue.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We have several deer that we see repeatedly, and there's a doe that comes by, and on her sternum, she has a growth that's probably the size of it's bigger than a softball, and it kind of jiggles when she walks. She looks fine, but it's just really unusual. Do you know what that could possibly be?
There's probably a couple of things that it could be, and I'm not a wildlife disease or health specialist, but I have seen pictures like that, and it's likely, you know, some type of abscess from an injury of some sort. And you could submit it to the local wildlife biologist and see if they have an idea, but typically those are abscesses. If you even do an internet search for deer with abscesses, you'll see those grapefruit size lumps or fibromas. You'll see pictures of that. It's fairly common.
So a deer that has one of those can survive and get along,
yeah.
Okay?
Yep, absolutely. And you you should be able to consume that meat, cook it properly. That shouldn't be an issue either. So just cut around anything that looks unusual if you do happen to harvest a deer that has a growth or an abscess like that.
So there you go, Sue. Thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And somebody's wondering, what about this coyote research? Just get back to that. Why do we do it? I mean, what's the value of it?
Well, to look at coyotes in urban areas generally, the value of that is that coyotes are in most urban areas, if not all of them, in North America. And in these urban areas, we also have a pretty dense concentration of human beings. And with human beings, we've got domestic pets and all sorts of other things like that. And so we want to understand as much as we can about coyotes in order to manage them properly, to promote positive coexistence between coyotes and humans and pets and other human-associated things in those urban environments. And again, as we talked about with the coyotes and deer on, I think it was Scott's property, is coyotes are in the cities and they're not leaving the cities. So we better figure out how to get along with them and how they can get along with us. And so the more we know about coyotes, about their behavior, activity patterns, things like that, the better we can manage them.
And they are here because in these urban settings?
Yeah, they're here because they essentially are just a wild dog, and they're very, very adaptable, very opportunistic animals. And in these urban environments, there's a lot of food resource for them to utilize. There's a lot of safety for them. They don't get shot at like they do out in rural properties. They live a pretty good, healthy life because that food is available. There's plenty of space for them as well. And so it's a really good opportunity, good place to live.
And speaking of food and coyotes, and going back to the deer question earlier, it's not usual, is it, for coyotes to be taking on full-grown deer, maybe fawns, but...
Yeah, so typically a coyote, they associate with packs, but they don't hunt in a pack necessarily, like you think of with wolves. And so they are really keen in on injured, sick, diseased, young deer.
Another question from Jim, and this is switching gears a bit, but we do that all the time on this show when you're here. Jim had called, but he couldn't stay with us. He was watching some loons, saw one that hasn't molted yet. Mm. So this had to be really recent. It was swimming strongly and eating. What are the chances that an unmodeled loon will be able to migrate?
Well, I'm wondering if you didn't see a young loon who hasn't acquired their adult plumage yet. But they should be able to migrate. Obviously, the way that this evolution of nature works is that they're not going to molt at a time that's going to compromise their migration. So I suspect that even though it may not, whatever the plumage is that he was looking at, I suspect that that's not going to affect their migration.
When do they migrate, typically?
It's a good question.
Now, they're starting to migrate. They'll start migrating out of the northern lakes now. So we'll start seeing them rafting up on some of our southern lakes.
Around the Madison area.
And we're starting to see that now. So they're starting to push down now, and then they'll continue to push further south and start migrating probably for the next month or so.
And I know on Lake Monona there, you might see 100, mm-hmm. 150, 200 loons if you go to the... get along the shore with binoculars, you're going to see them all over the lake.
Pretty spectacular and unusual when you're used to just seeing a pair.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's great. Winterizing, you mentioned that earlier, and maybe we can get a little quick start on
sure.
that. The importance of preparing for winter here in Wisconsin winterizing, it's important for, you know, for us, but it's also important for wildlife in many ways.
Yeah, and it's kind of ironic we're talking about winterizing when it's been 85 the last 3 days and we've had a second summer. But, you know, fall is the time where we start to do some upkeep of the yard and so on. And I would argue this is kind of something you should do as annual maintenance, and that is to kind of take a look around your home, your foundations, your windows, your fascia, the seals on your garage doors, yeah, walk doors, and kind of look at it from a small mammal's point of view, who is now looking to find places to take up shelter for the winter. And now is a really good time to, you know, work on sealing off those possible entry points, whether it's using expandable foam or hardware cloth, depending on the species, rodents like squirrels, if those are an issue, you're going to want to use a hardware cloth because it'll chew through expandable foam and things like that. But it's a good time to really think about what shelter you might be providing and what food resources you might be providing. So looking at that bird seed that you have stored in the garage, the dog food, things like that, making sure it's nice and cleaned up. So, yeah, we can talk more about, you know.
Hardware cloth, I always call it screen.
Yeah.
Well, anybody ever call it hardware cloth?
From a nuisance wildlife standpoint, it's a pretty common term. And so hardware cloth is screen, so it's got a mesh grid to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's like quarter inch or eighth of an inch. And I would say it's more rigid than screen, right? So it's galvanized or metal. It's not going to, rodents can't chew through it. And that is kind of this patch that you can put on corners in the soffits or corners of the garage to keep animals from gnawing or, you know, getting in. So
we're not screening your calls, by right, the way. We are screening your calls. We're welcome to have you call in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question or comment for our guests today, David Drake and Jamie Knack. And we won't screen you if you want to call in with a contribution. I can tell you that for sure. Sarah Ashworth with me right now. And we're asking you to invest a few minutes of your time to support your listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on, programs just like The Larry Mueller Show. That's why your gift now, you can make it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
You can become one of a unique group of 500 people who will be able to say after this show or after, I guess, after tomorrow at some point that
there's a countdown clock going.
I was one of those that helped secure an additional $15,000 for WPR. There was a group of generous members who have created this challenge. So they put up $15,000 to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
Have you seen the good news, Larry? We have 76 gifts have come in toward that. 424 to go for that extra $15,000. And you can help us right now. Your participation is vital. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge when you make a gift now. Any amount makes a difference. You can make your gift by calling 888-202-2552, or you can go online to WPR.org.
You know, we always have a great time on the first Wednesday of the month talking with David and Jamie, or with Scott Craven comes by every other month to talk about the world of wildlife. And it's certainly one of our most popular show. And here, who'd have thought we'd be talking about flamingos? But we have...
In October.
Plastic or otherwise, the real thing, actually. And coyotes and the research that's going on. We're going to get into more about winterizing and looking at your yard and your home. I think these are the kinds of topics that we have from 11 to 12:30 every day. And we think it helps enrich people's lives. What about you? Has it enriched your life? How unique is this in your mind? When you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your contribution.
It's a program that reflects our lives here in Wisconsin. And I think we all relate to different topics that you bring us every day, Larry.
Thank you.
It's so fun to be part of the conversation and listen closely today. It's nice to think about how to look at your house like a small mammal or a rodent. That's a key takeaway that I will take. But I'm sure you as a listener know those small takeaways that you you hear on the Larry Mueller Show every day, and we're asking you to support it now by calling 888-202-2552 or making a gift at WPR.org.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And we're from
Madison.
We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our fall member drive. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Ashworth. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Contribution might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference for all of us.
Maybe you donated a few years ago. Maybe you feel like you've done your part when you did that. Well, it is your continued support that makes the essential news, the interesting conversations, the cultural content, all of the things that are part of WPR, you make them possible with your continued gifts today and into the future.
And if it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to renew at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We'll be glad to have you back.
And you can be one of 500 people to help us secure this extra $15,000 for WPR. A group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support for the programs you and our entire community rely on. Your gift of any amount makes a difference right now. You can make that gift. Choose the amount that works for you. Call 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, making those ongoing monthly gifts, maybe is the day for you to increase your support, like I do every time we have a drive, and raise the amount that you're donating. For you, maybe it's $5 or $10 a month extra. Whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from Joel in Sherwood, Wisconsin, who says, "Public radio is my constant companion as I deliver mail through the farmlands of Wisconsin." That is a wonderful sight, I'm sure, to imagine.
We have
Joel
a lot of rural mail carriers who listen to this show. I get lots of comments from them.
That is excellent. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for your gift.
And what about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Looking at the world of wildlife today, Larry Mueller here with my guests David Drake and Jamie Knack. They come by every other month on the first Wednesday of the month to talk about wildlife. Always great to have them stop by. And callers, lots of callers online. Let's take a call. Chris in Baraboo, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hello, guys. Nice to speak to you. Say, listen, 14 years ago, I bought a piece of property in the Baraboo Bluffs, and I was cleaning out a corner of the woods because I wanted to replant some nicer trees in there. And I had a little mini excavator that I was pulling out some of the old box elder stumps and some of the bigger boulders that were in there. And I pulled out a boulder, and I got out and looked at what was inside that hole that I created, and there was a whole nest of salamanders. That's not near any water, but they were in there, probably munching on the box elder bugs. I don't know, but I've never seen them since this time. And also, but what was most interesting was out of the area scooted a lizard that looked like, you know, it was about 6 or 8 inches, and it had the spiky formation along its back and its head, and it scooted into the tall grass. I kind of chased it down, but he disappeared, and I thought, wow, that's got to be rare. And I don't know if I still have the environment for him in there. I've never seen him since, and I've never seen another one. So
let's take – thanks a lot, Chris, for calling. Well, the salamanders first. Let's go to the salamanders. David, go ahead.
Yeah, so salamanders, and I would have liked to find out what kind they were. I'm assuming they were tiger salamanders, possibly, but they could have been – a different type of salamander. We've got a number of salamander species in Wisconsin, and obviously because they're amphibians, they need wetlands during the summer or warmer months, and then they need an upland habitat to hibernate for the winter months. And I'm assuming what they were doing under that boulder, and it would have been nice to also know what time of the year it was he was moving that boulder, but I'm assuming it was probably during the more hibernatory season, but they were probably under that boulder to hibernate because it was a nice place to hibernate. And maybe they are eating some bugs in there, but most likely if they're hibernating, they're dormant to begin with. And so that's most likely what's going on with that. And I used to live near a place that had salamanders migrating, and it was kind of sometimes we'd see a lot of them, sometimes we wouldn't see a lot of them. So it kind of is also – they very well might still be on the property, but they may have moved to a different location on that property as well. But salamanders are also – because they're in constant contact with the soil and water – that they are very susceptible to environmental pollutants, and if you don't have clean water and good soil conditions, it also could be that the salamanders, they may have moved someplace else because it just wasn't a healthy habitat.
Yeah, and I suspect there's still salamanders on Chris's property, just given the location, but what it is we're not looking for them,
right?
So he happened to find it because he moved this boulder, and they were utilizing that particular habitat, but... herptiles, so reptiles and amphibians, they really need down coarse woody debris. So rotten logs, like structure. Think about structure like in the bottom, floor of the woods that is moist. So a rotting log is a good place to kind of turn over and see if you don't, find salamanders in them. So some of our classes and research that we're, doing or techniques that we're doing with our students, that's how we go about trying to find amphibians like salamanders.
Well, I'm wondering about lizards. Now, lizards in the Baraboo area.
Well, so we have four species of lizards in Wisconsin. So they are here. Yeah. They're not super common. The southwest part of the state is the more
likely
spot. But what was baffling me is we have skinks and a slender glass lizard, and they're smooth. So they're scaled, but they're smooth. They don't have any of the spikes that he was, talking about. What he was describing, I right away thought about like a bearded dragon. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it could be a captive, but our lizards are all like smooth and streamlined.
Well, that's what was bothering me, too.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of one.
Yeah.
I thought right away it was one somebody released.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
That Chris might have seen.
That one's going to go undetermined, I'm not
Chris,
sure.
Chris, if you ever see it again and get a picture of it, we would love to see it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yep.
Well, Roy in Whitewater, on to you now. Hi, Roy.
Hi. I have a problem with deer. I have a small choose-and-cut Christmas tree farm. In the past, I've been able to thwart damage done to young deciduous trees by hanging human hair from a sack or a hairnet. But when I see destruction, and before I get the hair, I sometimes substitute it as a deterrent human urine, and it works. My problem is the deer are into my Christmas trees, excuse me, and it seems to be during the, I think they call it the rut.
Yeah.
And the deer will put their head into, now many of my Christmas trees and destroy their symmetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was wondering, do you think the urine technique would, by using it as a peripheral guard, of the fields that I have would keep the deer off of them?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your damage, but it's not an uncommon complaint, especially amongst Christmas tree growers, nursery growers, things like that. And this time of the year, when the deer are starting to develop their antlers, you get a lot of what's called buck rubbing. That's what you're experiencing with your Christmas trees. And they're buck rubbing either to remove the velvet off the antlers that are newly growing and or to mark territory for other bucks and the does that they're trying to attract and things like that. So I would probably not use urine, and it may be effective in very short term. The problem is that it's going to be a very short-term solution. Rather, what I would do is if you can try to put as much harvest pressure on the deer as possible. The deer season is currently in action now. If you're a hunter with bow and arrow, crossbows, things like that, the 9-day gun season's coming up around Thanksgiving time. But deer season, depending on where you are in the state, can run anywhere from like mid-September all the way into January, February, something like that. So if you are receptive and able to allow hunters on your property or you hunt your property, I would put as much hunting pressure on the deer as you possibly can. And what you want to do is work with your county deer biologist and find out what that buck to doe ratio is. And if it's, let's say, three does for every buck, you want to make sure that you're shooting at least three does for every buck shot, because the does are going to reduce that recruitment pressure on the population. The other thing is, because you are growing Christmas trees, you could get into the Wisconsin Damage Abatement Claims Program, and that's a program through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. But they will help to cost share fencing for you. And if you use a number of attempts to manage deer in a non-lethal way or even a lethal way and it's not working, they will then compensate you for some of your loss. So what I would do is get in touch with your county biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and ask about the Damage and Claims Abatement Program.
Roy, good luck to you. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Larry Mueller here, and Sarah Ashworth joins us again for the last couple of minutes before the top of the hour. Dave and Jamie are going to be with us through the show, but right now our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this one. I think David just gave some great advice on deer and buck rubs for Christmas tree owners, and we've spent a lot of time talking about some great topics, the coyotes, the winterizing, which we're going to get into a whole lot more as well as we move along. Your support makes that happen because listener support is our largest source of funding. So please give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when you give right now, you can be one of 500 people who helps us meet this challenge. It's a challenge that if we receive 500 gifts by the end of the day tomorrow, an extra $15,000 comes to WPR. A group of generous members has created this challenge to inspire us all to give now, and we have a great update. We're making progress, Larry. 83 gifts have come in, 417 to go for that extra $15,000.
Yeah, I think about 30 of them this hour. So we could add another 10 right now. Your participation could help that. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It has been so wonderful to be here in the studio with David and Jamie and you, Larry, and sort of learn more about wildlife across Wisconsin. I feel like it's been, you know, the people who call in have such good questions, too. I love hearing that engagement from people all over the state who bring the best questions forward into your program, and it's great to hear the responses from David and Jamie. You know, hearing from all of you during the program is so vital to the sound of the Larry Mueller Show. We are listener supported here at WPR, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you are the ones who make this program and many more programs possible.
So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you can ask for the WPR belt bag. And proudly display your support for your WPR program. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
And we listen to WPR basically nonstop.
Our hobby is riding our tandem, and so we listen to WPR with shared earbuds while we're riding a tandem. We're pretty addicted to WPR. We love the programming.
And it's so wonderful to listen to programming that is not interrupted by commercials. Mm-hmm. That is just an outstanding attribute of WPR. Oh, golly.
We just love it.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Ashworth. Your support's the biggest source of our funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month could be $100 or $200 a month. Whatever amount you choose has an important impact.
I liked hearing about riding on a tandem bike, listening to you. I mean, belt bags would be a fabulous accessory for that tandem bike ride as well. That's with a gift of $10 a month. And when you make a gift, you can be one of those 500 people who will help us secure an extra $15,000 for WPR. That money goes so far to support the programs that you rely on and your entire community relies on.
And if you're not a sustainer, I think you could become one right now. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you could become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've heard from Kimberly and Hayward, who says, "We love Larry." Love is all capitals. Love Larry and missed him greatly. Well, we were out in California. It's good to be home. We are happy to have you here. Thank you for your gift.
Your gift right now, very powerful and makes a difference for sure. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you. We'll be back right after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network, taking a look at the world of wildlife on the show today. Larry Mueller here with Jamie Knack and David Drake. Jamie is, what is Jamie? She's an extension wildlife specialist. No, what's your official title? David is an extension wildlife specialist and professor, and you are a senior wildlife outreach specialist. she's not old, I can tell you that right now. She looks pretty young to me. Anyway, we're talking wildlife, and you can join in with your questions. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas at WPR.org. And Ron in Ernie, which is north of Elma, if I'm not mistaken, is with
us. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Ernie's this little spot on the map that nobody knows except us folks who live here.
Well,
and some of the bikers that come to the bar at the crossroads there. Yeah. Well, I'm not a bird expert, but I enjoy watching them outside my kitchen window in the morning and in the evening. And I had hung a hollow gourd with a hole for a nesting for bluebirds. And they took to that, and for the last couple of years, they've raised families there, and they hang around quite a bit, you know, in the early summer. And then all summer now, they seem to have been gone. I can hear them out in the field. But suddenly, I don't know if it's the four siblings or who it is, but they've all returned to this nest, and they're out there squabbling and scrapping about who's going to go in the nest and out of the nest. I'm just mystified by their behavior. I'm not a, you know, I think it's, I thought they were long gone, you know, had migrated already.
They might not even be all members of that same original family either.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what's going on there. And of course, they're insect eaters, although they will switch food sources a little bit, but they'll be migrating soon, but family groups do stay together, and I believe they will have a second clutch. So you might have, you know, I don't. It would be late, I would think, to have a second clutch in there right now. But it's hard to say. I've had the same similar situation with a wren house this summer too, where they were young, and they hatched and they fledged, but then they were back, you know, back and forth, you know, checking out the wren house and spending time in it. So I really don't know for sure.
It well, might...
It could be, yeah. They're just provide some shelter, exploring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now, because they're migratory, they are foraging mm-hmm. on yep. food just to build up their fat reserves. And it might be that there might be mites or some insects in that yep. nesting material that they're utilizing in addition to find some shelter as well. So, but I would guess the same as Jamie does. It's probably not the same clutch that you saw initially. It's probably a second clutch
yep.
that's coming out.
Yep.
Ron, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too, by the way. 800-642-1234. Ralph in Hayward wants to take a little exception with you here. He has a question relating to coyotes. If urban is such a great place for coyotes, how do you account for the higher cortisol levels, especially if they're free from some of the stressors of rural living, as you describe?
Well, rural living is not a picnic in and of itself either, because in the urban areas, typically there's a lot more food availability for them, both natural food that they would normally eat in rural areas, but then there's a lot of human-provided food in the form of pets, trash, compost piles, things like that. So there's a lot more food for them. And typically what we found with our research here in urban coyotes in Madison is that they are nutritionally healthy. And because they're nutritionally healthy, they're pretty healthy from an immunological standpoint or disease standpoint. They're not carrying a lot of disease. If you look out in the rural areas, those coyotes typically are not as heavy.
Yeah.
They're not as nutritionally healthy. They are more disease-ridden, but they also, there's a lot more mortality events, because they are getting shot at by people quite commonly. If up in the northern part of the state, they might be getting predated by wolves in addition to getting hit by cars and things like that. So typically, and it's not just coyotes, but animals that live in the city, typically they have a better life than their counterparts that might live in rural areas. Yeah.
And Pat, to go along with this, Pat emailed us, is there any indication that coyotes are controlling CWD by predation on deer?
I don't know that we're able to that there's research that's pinpointed that. Certainly, as we talked about earlier in the show, coyotes, you know, if they are going to depredate a deer, kill a deer, they are looking for deer that, you know, show some sort of weakness, right? Or mm-hmm. they're injured or young, old. And so certainly you could see where a deer that is showing symptoms of chronic wasting disease would appear more vulnerable. But whether they're actually controlling the disease or having impact, I don't think we know that.
And I would even maybe wager a guess that they're not, just looking at the spread of CWD and the rate of spread across the country. I would doubt that.
Yeah.
Amy in Siren, Wisconsin, emailed us. She's wondering if raccoons can communicate with each other, and if so, how do they do it?
Well, certainly they do, and I know that because I've had young families of raccoons in the yard, and they have this interesting vocalization, chirping.
Why don't you imitate it, Jamie?
No, I can't. But they do it with their mouth, right? And yeah, it is a chirping, squeaking type behavior, and certainly you're going to have male raccoons fighting over territory during the breeding season, making noises as well. But I suspect if you want to hear a good, realistic raccoon call or vocalizations, you could do a little search on the internet and have some sound bites to listen to.
I would be interesting. Badgers reminded me of badgers, because once I was asked to check in on a badger growl that we might record and play very loudly at a badger game.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And so Cornell's, I think, sent me some, but it sounded terrible.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like the kind of growl that Penn State uses with its the Nittany Lion.
Yeah, right.
Gotcha. Right.
So there you go. I want to get back to winterizing, because we did promise we'd talk some more about it. Let's talk some more about it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, as we're looking around our yard, we do have to, I encourage people to kind of find a balance. So when I look at our yard, and we have 5 acres out in the country, you know, leaves, I'm removing leaves that are near the foundation of the home. So I'm not providing cover for small mammals that can follow that foundation, explore little nooks and crannies where they might get in. So I want them to be vulnerable to a potential predator or not feel safe. So I remove leaves away from the foundation. In addition, looking at access points. So if you deal with squirrels, for example, getting into your eaves or through the soffits or the fascia boards, look for trees and limbs that are within 8 feet of your roof line and think about trimming those back. And we don't want vegetation rubbing against our homes either. It's not good for the infrastructure and so on. So those are areas where you want to remove vegetation. But when it comes to things like raking up our leaves, I'd encourage you to maybe leave those leaves. They're a whole microclimate, micro community themselves in terms of the insects and the larvae that are there. And you're providing that food source for wildlife throughout the winter. Same with the perennial gardens. We have a couple of perennial gardens on the property, and those I don't touch.
I don't either.
And when that snow flies or you've got that frost, I mean, they're just aesthetically
pretty. Really pretty.
Very pretty. And then the hollow stems of some of those perennials, again, are places where insects are overwintering. And so you can kind of be that lazy gardener. It's okay. It's really good for wildlife. But when it comes to immediately around the home, that's where I think we really want to take some care to not provide these access points for animals that are trying to get into our homes.
I had some professional painters paint my house, so that took care of all of the shrubs right next to the house.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any of that to worry about. You know, on the I've got a lawn, and there are trees that drop their leaves on the lawn. So you want to move them or whatever. I use them as a source of kind of fertilizer for the lawn because I use a mulching lawnmower. And just mulch the leaves in so I don't have to rake them into a pile or set them aside.
Yep, and a lot of times the tree, so if it's an oak tree, the host insects, the native insects that are important for that tree are overwintering in the leaves below it. So you do want to kind of keep the leaves in the area because it's going to, circle back and benefit.
I'm telling you, if you've got an oak tree, you've got acorns.
This year,
holy cow,
is
this
a really
there
big
are
year.
Acorns everywhere. I'm telling you,
the wildlife are going to be eating well this winter.
Yep.
It is absolutely amazing how many gallons and bushel baskets full of acorns that are on properties all through my neighborhood.
It's like walking on marbles in some places.
Yep. Yeah. Be really careful.
So the DNR has some trees that we can get our hands on, seedlings, I should say. And at least you can order them now, can't you?
This is kind of, for landowners who are looking to reforest their properties, there is the opportunity to purchase seedlings from the state nurseries, and it's part of conservation plantings on private or even public lands as well. And so that application or the opportunity where you can put in your request began on October 2nd, and you don't want to wait too long. Those will sell out. But essentially, a minimum order consists of packets of 300 trees or shrubs of the landowner's choosing in increments of 100 of each species. Or you can get into 500 shrubs, 1,000 tree seedlings, but at a reduced cost then for that bundle. And these are bare root. And you can go to the Department of Natural Resources website and just type in seedling orders, and you'll get to their website. You can look at all the native species that are available, so you can look at the current inventory. They also have a database that kind of talks about what size those seedlings are, what the product looks like, or how many years old it is and things like that. And then they really encourage you to reach out to have a successful tree planting experience, to reach out to the local forester or even a private consultant forester so that they will help you develop a tree planting plan that'll address things like, hey, what species would be best given your site conditions, your soil conditions, site preparation that you may need, cost share programs that might be available to you. And in some cases, there's even tree planting or options to rent equipment to do the job. So if you want to look for your local forester or cooperating forester, just again, DNR website, do a search for Forestry Assistance Locator. It's a wonderful tool. You check the county that you're in, and it'll populate with a list of the professionals in your area and what their expertise is, and then you can find somebody who can help you with this tree plan. But otherwise, again, DNR website, seedling orders, and they'll be ready for you. So if you get the order in, you can either email it or you can mail it in. I think they kind of fill them first come, first serve, and then those orders are available in the spring for your planting.
Always a pleasure, David, Jamie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. We'll see you in a couple of months.
We'll be back in a couple of months. You have to tell us in a couple of months what your favorite animal is and why, because...
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody, curious listeners would like to know.
Huh, that's going
to
be a tough one.
So ponder that and let us know.
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
We're in our fall member drive. And we're doing pretty good, too. Boy, this has been a pretty good show for, I think we had around 40 or so gifts that have come in during the show. Thanks to Sarah Ashworth, who is my co-host for this part of the show. Hi, Sarah. Your gift right now makes a huge difference because listeners are our largest source of funding. We keep saying that because it's true. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when you step up now and make your gift, you will be one of the people who helps us meet this challenge we have. When 500 people give in total by the end of the day tomorrow, an extra $15,000 comes to WPR. This is made possible by a group of generous members who have put together this money to inspire you to make a gift now. We actually, so we're not looking for 500 anymore. We've made progress today. We're looking for 407 people to go to meet that challenge.
And it starts with you at 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or go to WPR.org and make your contribution. Any amount makes a difference. Jill and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne Brody are a couple of our guests who, like David and Jamie, who are regular guests on the program. Scott Craven's another one, happy to speculate on wildlife sightings. The weather guys, we've got Steve Ackerman, John Martin, and a lot of really fine people we get as experts to talk with you every day. And we try to cover things that are sort of everyday life.
Yeah, things that, you know, are important to our lives here in Wisconsin. And it's great, the access. You as a listener, listening to that information, but you can ask your question too. You can send an email, you can call in, you can contribute to the conversation. You are part of the Larry Mueller Show every day as well. And it's wonderful. I know many of you probably know those names Larry just read very well and have come to rely on them and count on them. They give you advice and ideas. Because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, we're asking you to now support this program with your dollars. It's easy to give. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And while you're at it, you can ask for the new WPR baseball cap. It's I'm modeling it right
so
now.
So you can't see it on your head, can you? I could tell you what it looks like, Larry. It's a fine cap. It's a nice light green color. It says Wisconsin Public Radio, has kind of a retro, vintage, old-fashioned radio on it as well.
I had one just like that back in the day, that radio.
It's a very cool style.
It's a very cool style. And as I said the other day, if I see you wearing one of those, I'm going to run over and give you a fist bump.
Or anyone out in the community. Maybe you can promise them that, too.
That's what I mean. Run into somebody with that, I'm going to give them a fist bump for sure. And I'm likely to, especially in my neighborhood, a lot of WPR supporters. What about you? Would you like to have a baseball cap from WPR? You can ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at
888-202-2552.
We serve the entire state. You could be doing fist bumps all over the entire state of Wisconsin. Larry, we are Wisconsin's public radio. You have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite. Chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity here in the state.
And it's a home we all share, funded in large part by listeners here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I love the community of listeners that we have here. I mean, it feels like we've got, across the entire state, when you're on this program, for me, it's like everybody's here. It's a fun group. We're talking about fun and interesting things. We laugh sometimes. Once in a while, we might cry, but mostly we're laughing. And I love the community. And if you love the community, I hope you'll contribute now. You can reach us by calling 888-202-2552, or you can go online to WPR.org and make your contribution.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Larry Mueller here with Sarah Ashworth, and that was a good idea. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution. Your support during our drive makes all the programs you rely on possible, and your gift, $10, $20, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And in order to set up and make that gift, it takes just a couple of minutes. You can do it online. You can enter your contact information, your name, how much you'd like to give, how you'd like to pay. You can also give us a call as well. That number is 888-202-2552, or you can give and set up all of your information at WPR.org.
We are coming up to a time of the show when we have to leave almost, but think about your donation right now. Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. If you did, thanks so much for that. If you haven't, if you haven't given an extra gift in a while as a sustainer, maybe this would be a good time to do it. $50, $100 maybe at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You can join in this drive if you haven't become a sustainer. Do it right now when you call in with your contribution.
Consider the news, the information, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day when you listen to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is the right donation for you. Whatever the amount, your gift helps us meet this challenge we have going on today. An extra $15,000 comes to WPR when we hear from 500 of you by the end of the day tomorrow. 888-202-2552, or you can give at WPR.org.
Just wanted to say one thing from our team on the Larry Mueller Show. We've got Trina's got a big smile looking at me right now. We've got Claire. We've got Tyler. And, of course,
Jill. You
have
a great team.
We have a great team, and we love doing this show. We have so much fun doing it, and we learn an awful lot along the way as well. If you enjoy the show, if you love listening to the program, I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't given, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Sarah Ashworth for the Ideas Network.